Self-judgment and how that's affecting us. Luis is actually going to be talking about it here in a minute. I'd like to just take a moment to share who Luis Diaz is and what the significance of cellular memory release is. Luis has been a holistic practitioner for many years, 20-some-odd years to be exact, and has been working with cellular memory. Luis found some key experiences with his clients where he saw this pattern where when they would bring their presence and attention to emotions in the body, and he found that through this release process that became pain body release, that they felt much better and reported shifts that happen not only immediate but later on in life that are having a more positive effect. So the inner transformation literally changed the outer situation, and he began working with tools that bring those kinds of results. And so CMR by Luis Diaz is really a collection of tools that synthesized in particular ways as we teach in workshops and conducts in retreats and also in trainings, we're able to really drill into the unconscious information that's actually causing a lot of negativity or challenges in our life. So he's had quite an experience arriving to the tools to actually do the transformation, which he could talk about, and which he also shares in his forthcoming book, The Memory in the Cells. So let's jump right into what this negative self-judgment is all about and why we're choosing this subject. So, Luis, are you there?
Yes, hello. How are you, Bryce?
Good.
Welcome to everybody to this fourth teleseminar. Yeah, the subject of today is a very important one that most of us had to suffer and still suffering. For many of us, we are not aware that we are doing it. It's something that came to my awareness several years ago working with clients that the people that had more negative self-judgment and self-condemnation were the people with more problems in all levels, physical, emotional, financial, relationships. And there was a real story from the Dalai Lama when he had this meeting in this big convention with mental health professionals. He told the story when he came to Europe for the first time, when he flee Tibet after the Chinese invasion. And he was young with his group of Tibetan monks, and they all noticed something about these Europeans that were receiving them kindly with generosity and openness. But still, these nice people, there was something weird about. So they talked among them, and what's that? What's going on? And they couldn't figure out what was that uncomfortable thing about the Europeans. And after some time, that he doesn't mention how long, he realized that it was self-hatred. And he says self-hatred is not a concept for us in our culture. We don't have the concept of self-hatred in Tibet. And when I heard that, and I put together my observations in myself and in my clients up to that time, I realized this is a big thing. He mentioned self-hatred, self-condemnation, self-punishment in the form of a word or a inner dialogue that we use. It leads to all sorts of emotional, mental, and physical problems. So this is a big topic, and if you want to improve your life situation, you really need to pay attention to the inner dialogue and in what way you are treating yourself. Are you treating yourself like a dear friend, someone that you respect and you honor? Are you treating yourself with indifference? Do you acknowledge yourself? Do you appreciate yourself? Or you do the opposite? You criticize yourself. You are your inner judge. So this is very important. You know, and sometimes I ask people, if you are living in the same house with a roommate, that each time you do something or say something, they judge it or criticize it, what are you going to do? And most of the people say, okay, I move to another house, or I ask a roommate to leave. I'm not going to tolerate that. So what happens inside of you? In what way are you living with yourself? You are your eternal roommate. You have to live with yourself beyond any other relationship that you may have that you consider close to you. You are your eternal roommate. So that is why the subject of today is about negative self-judgment and self-condemnation, because we keep this information in deep in the cells. It runs our functions. And the sad part of this is that we pass this on to our children and the people we hang out with. I don't know if that answers your question.
Well, what we have is a lot of relevancy in some of excerpts in the book that I was reading here on A Memory in the Self. And there's a title, it says, the one main causes of suffering is this game of self-condemnation that we're talking about. And I'd just like to read a little bit of this part. It says, is self-condemnation part of our original design? Can you imagine a baby beating up on himself saying, look at me, I'm fat. What's wrong with me? I have no teeth, can't even walk, I can't do anything for myself, I can't even talk, I am so stupid, I can't stand myself. I mean, imagining a baby would say that, but it sounds absurd when we imagine a baby talking to himself like that. Yet tragically, we do it to ourselves and each other all the time. A baby doesn't have a concept of self-hatred. We learn all these concepts by imitation when we are very young. We hear criticism and judgment, and then we repeat them to ourselves and to others. We have to become convinced that if we love someone, we have to criticize them. We begin to believe that the best way to motivate ourselves or another is through criticism. We believe that if we love our children, we need to show them their faults so that they will become better human beings, and then they will have a better life.
Yeah, this is quite a subject. I have three children myself, so I know the experience of moving from the paradigm of criticizing them for them to become better people to loving them unconditionally and being able to serve through the different possibilities of parent-child relationship, where you need to set boundaries, you need to say your truth, you need to say what you like and what you don't like about their choices, but at the same time honoring them and allowing them to have their experience. So it is not true that actually with criticism we are going to make better children. Probably they are going to be hard workers, probably they are going to be good providers, but they are not going to be happy. And this is the sadness of this paradigm that makes us good workers, good people for the system, but we don't enjoy the ride. We don't feel free. We don't feel creative. We just live a stressful life. Criticizing our children is the perfect formula to create insecure, uncertain, lack of confidence in our children. Then they are professionals, then they are successful, then they have a lot of money, and they have a nice family, but they are not enjoying, and they spend a lot of money in therapy, trying to regain self-esteem and self-confidence, that, without knowing, the parents instill in them through judgment and criticism. And what happens is that we learn this. This programming gets installed in us, and we keep doing it, even if our parents are not around, if our teachers are not around. So we develop in ourselves the inner critic that is merciless. Therefore, nothing that we attain works. We never feel fully satisfied.
Well, that sounds like it'll create a lot of stress in us.
Absolutely. Stress, always running, doing things, overworking, overwhelmed, is the sign that I feel not enough. I don't love myself enough. I never satisfy. So, you know, the multitasking, the many things to do, always running, always busy, has to be with negative self-judgment and self-condemnation.
And how does that create the pain body? How does that feed into the negative charge in our bodies?
Well, imagine that you're running these gramophone records in yourself endlessly, day by day. That creates a frequency in us. It creates a resonance. We vibrate in a certain way. A person that is condemning themselves is running a frequency different than the person that is honoring and celebrating life. It's a complete different energy field. Therefore, the pain body is an energy field. We cover the pain body concept in the teleseminar number 3, that you can listen to the panel seminars anytime you want to.
Somebody was asking questions about the previous teleseminars that we've had, so I was just going to throw out there, since you mentioned it, that they're available on the homepage, actually, on the right side. If you scroll down a little bit, you'll see some gold-colored players for the teleseminar. So for those of you who want to access those, you can get those there. So there's a couple other pieces I was wanting to cover here in this book that I was reading, too. Since we were talking about the pain body and, you know, the fact that it's causing a charge in our body-mind system, this paragraph, it says that each time we make a negative judgment about any aspect of ourselves, our physical appearance, mental traits, or emotional attitudes, the body-mind system goes immediately on the alert, since we're telling it that there's something wrong or at fault. At the same time, the system begins to search in its database of the past, which is the cellular memory, for something attuned with the error for which it had just been held responsible, present, as evidence that there is truly something wrong with me. So the last part of that paragraph really was explaining how, since we're always telling us ourselves this, it's coming from our DNA and our past, we're just naturally and consciously doing this, even without being taught.
In the private sessions, happens very frequently that stuff that is stored in our DNA comes out. It suddenly feels like it's us. You know, it doesn't matter really if it's stuff that was happening to your grandfather. I'm not conscious. I'm not aware of that. I feel it in my system, and I own it. That's the way, you know, we own the body we have, the hair color that we have, color of the eyes, and all the things that we think belong to us. Actually, they are traits that belong to our ancestors. It cannot be other way, half and half, dad and mom. But the important part of the last piece of what you read is that each time you repeat inside of yourself any negative self-judgment or self-condemnation, let's say, I am incompetent. Of course, in the inner dialogue, nothing in you says, I am incompetent. Actually, the way it operates is, I'm stupid. I'm an idiot. I'm good for nothing. That's the way it happens inside of us. We are not so polite or so proper when we talk to ourselves. So the more I feed into this frequency of incompetency, the more I'm going to trigger, is like reviving, is resuscitating the traits of my ancestors that were connected with incompetency. The dangerous, risky part here is that when I resuscitate these frequencies from the genetic past, also brings with it any disease or any dysfunction that was linked, was fused to the belief. So if by any reason I resuscitate the fusion that my great-great-grandfather had about being an idiot and being stupid with a cancer or a mental disease or a relationship problem or sexual problem, it comes in the package. So that's why we say that self-condemnation is slow suicide. You really make yourself miserable because you attract all those things from the genetic past that are linked to the resonance of self-condemnation. You see what I'm trying to say?
Where do these negative self-judgments come from then? Like, I'm not good enough, I'm flawed, I'm... You know, and we say, well, yeah, when we say that to ourselves, they create a charge and they hurt us and they cause this negative charge in our bodies, but where are they coming from?
The habits that are coming from, you know, maybe we're talking about here thousands of generations. Where it's coming from really at this point is irrelevant, because we are suffering it and everybody is. Like a planetary infestation, it happens everywhere, and mostly happens the closer we get to the search for God. The search for God, in the way we are programmed through institutionalized religions, is an area where we get most of the shame and the guilt about ourselves, because we are sinners. We are bad people, and we had to pay for our sins. So where are the people that created the religions got that from? Who knows, really? But this is a planetary infestation that is taking thousands of generations. The point is that it's artificial, it's not real, it doesn't belong to us. And the fact that the Dalai Lama said Tibetans didn't have a concept of self-hatred, that is telling us that actually we can live without that. It's not natural to a human being to treat themselves in that way. Actually, what is natural to us is unconditional love and acceptance.
Well, you're saying, where does the self-condemnation come from? Is it coming from the beliefs we have?
Yeah, beliefs actually are the ones that create the feelings of shame about myself, feeling embarrassed, I need to hide, I don't want them to know who I am or what I am or what I did, guilt for my actions, fear to be seen, fear to say my truth, to express myself, to say my opinions, to express my feelings. Those of you that already heard the last teleconferences, you can see now another side of how we store negative emotional charge in the cells through this energy field that we call the pain body. And it's mainly losing authenticity, losing our genuine self. In this case, it is not genuine. It is not natural to a human being to judge, criticize, and condemn and punish themselves in the way we do through the inner dialogue that we have. That's why we can actually get out of this situation. Because if we say, this is natural, this comes with us, forget it. We are all cooked. But we can get out of this situation because it's not part of our original design. It's not natural to us to do this. It's something that we learned.
So what are some of the things that we can do? Some people had a question about how to tips for detecting negative self-judgment and criticism. What would be some ways that we can detect it happening in our lives? Like, is it
one way to detect that you are not being grateful, you are not acknowledging and appreciating yourself? One way to know that is that you are all day running like a chicken without a head, trying to accomplish things, and it's never enough. That's crucial. That's central. If you are under stress, then it means that you are running inside an inner critic that is telling you that you didn't do enough, that you had to accomplish more, or that what you are doing is wrong and you had to do it better. You had to fix what is broken. When there is self-condemnation, there is an inner feeling that I'm flawed or I'm incomplete or there is something wrong with me. Therefore, nothing is enough. So that's a way to know that you are running negative self-judgment and self-criticism. Another way is just to stop and listen to your thoughts. Pay attention through meditation, through just going quiet, listening to the inner dialogue. That's another good way to do it.
Actually bring up that dialogue in the pain body release process, can't you? And actually,
yes.
And actually use it to your advantage to transform it instead of just paying attention to it, which really is what I found to be the first step. When we believe this thought that doesn't, you know, sound good, like I'm not good enough, that's really causing the negative feelings inside. So
any of you in the audience at this moment, you stop for a moment and you repeat, I'm not good enough, I'm worthless, I have no purpose, everything I do is wrong, I don't know what I'm doing with my life, and all that, you know, you already can feel depressed. And we are doing it on purpose now, intentionally, consciously, to become more aware. Imagine when you run this unconsciously, and it's in the background of your life 24 hours. It can be very damaging, and it can make any life very sad and unhappy and unhealthy.
You know, what came to my mind was really coming from that right and wrong way of things that leads to all this.
And that's a consequence of the culture that we live in.
So the communication by default is negative in many ways, really, or causes a negative.
Unfortunately, we develop a culture that generates a lot of alienation and separation in us, the members of these cultures. Therefore, the more separated we feel, the more we need to protect ourselves, and the more we need to defend ourselves. So it's us against everything and everybody out there. So when that happens, actually that makes our ego more strong. And then anything that happens is our fault or our credit. So if things go good for me. If things go wrong, it's my fault. And that's, you know, that state of alienation is a good place to feed criticism, you know. Parents criticize their children, parents criticize among themselves, teachers criticize their students, students criticize among themselves, and it becomes, you know, it's like we are all swimming in the same criticism ocean, and we think that that's life, and that's the way it should be.
Well, I know from business, just being in business, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate too, is if you know, everyone who's had a job or has worked for somebody or has owned their own business, there's always this, I mean, depending of course on who you work with and everything, but there's always this energy field of this judgment and criticism, even if sometimes people work with it in a jokingly way, like to find their way through problems, but it still exists that things are problems and they'll beat up on themselves, I've noticed, just because, you know, business is so much about doing business the right way versus the wrong way. And I think a lot of people feel a lot of stress, like myself, sometimes coming away from an environment that isn't really meeting the needs of what, I don't know, our deeper self wants, our soul, our higher self, you know, which is, which I feel like what you were saying about the Dalai Lama taps into that, because they're nurturing that, so it was just such a weird energy to feel that going on, and that's everywhere, and we're used to it.
Well, the first step is always awareness. If you want any healing or transformation to happen, you have to become aware. And the more aware you get, the more there is for a change to happen. That's very important. Once you become aware, then you have to start working. It's like, you know, your ship is going southwest and you want to go southeast, you know. So from one course, you have to change to another course. and it takes some time to move it. It's not immediate, it's not overnight, it requires a persistency and dedication. And today, before we leave, I'd like to pass on to you a very simple correction that is a way for you to start the work. There are, in the CMR process, we have several other ways to work with this area of self-condemnation. But this is the simple thing that I can pass on to you during a teleconference. And this is a correction created by Dr. Callahan like 15, 20 years ago. It's called psychological reversal. And those of you familiar with energy psychology know it. It's so simple that sometimes we think that it's not going to work, but it does. And it helps to start changing the course.
So we're working with the programming.
What we're believing in. Bringing, awakening in ourselves our natural design, that is unconditional love, acceptance, respect for self. We heard so many times, even religions say that God is inside of you. We are part of the divine. We are swimming in the divine ocean. We are drops in the ocean of divinity. All right. Yeah, that sounds great, but I don't feel like that. So why I don't feel like that? Because I condemn myself, and I beat upon myself. So God is everywhere, but in myself. Pretty much that's what's going on with us. So this correction, actually, you need to look at the palm of your hands, at the edge of your hands. This is also called the karate chop correction. Why? Because there is a point at the edge of the palm of your hand, right below the pinky joint. If you look at the palm of your hand, you will see a line that is running below your fingers, horizontal, from the second finger to the pinky, and it ends below the pinky joint. Can you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Can you identify that?
So it's about half an inch down from the base of the pinky joint.
Yeah.
Where if I was to karate chop, like hit something, I would hit that kind of a mushy point.
Yeah.
So about half an inch down, and it's on the side, so it's whatever, if I was chopping.
Yeah, and exactly where that line ends, at the edge of the hand. So that point is the point number 3 of the small intestine meridian. You don't have to remember this, but this is just to let you know that this is a very important point in the energy human system. And you tap on that point. You tap on that point with your index and middle finger of your other hand, and while you tap on that point, you are going to repeat a statement that I'm going to teach you now. You're going to write it down so you remember it, and you keep repeating that statement while you're tapping, and you switch hands. You can tap on the other hand, because what you want is to open up the energy flow on that meridian. And tapping on meridians does that. Nowadays, there is a lot of tapping meridian systems that are very effective out there. One of them is EFT. So this technique has been around for almost 2 decades, and it works very well. Tapping on those points, you are going to think of a phrase, a label. Let's continue working with being incompetent, but the inner dialogue says, I'm stupid. Yeah? So let's say that I'm stupid is the belief that keeps running in myself. So you tap on those points and you are going to say, even though I say to myself I'm stupid, I deeply love, accept, and respect myself. Even though I say to myself I'm stupid, I deeply love, accept, and respect myself. And you repeat this 3 or 4 times, and then you add a new belief. Let's say that the new belief is...
Even though I can't do enough, or I'm not good enough?
Even though I'm not good enough. Yeah?
Okay.
So, even though I'm not good enough. I deeply love, accept, and respect myself. And you keep tapping and you switch hands. Even though I'm not good enough, I deeply love, accept, and respect myself. And you repeat this 3 or 4 times until another statement comes up for you. Maybe it's, I cannot pay my rent. Even though I cannot pay my rent, I deeply love, accept, and respect myself. Even though I cannot pay my rent, I deeply love, accept, and respect. And you repeat this 3 or 4 times. So you can come around all the different beliefs that are connected with negative self-judgment and self-criticism in this way. Some of them are going to have a lot of charge, and you may feel the pain body arising. Some of them, you will notice that nothing happens to you. It doesn't matter. You keep doing it, and you keep covering other areas. You can work this correction in present time, like I cannot pay my rent, or I am stupid. You can work it in future. I'm going to lose my house. They are not going to love me. I'm going to be alone. Yeah? Or you can use it in past tense. Even though I was a bad father. Even though I abandoned my children. Whatever. Yeah? So you can cover past and future with the same correction always, even though. And then you add, I deeply love, accept, and respect myself. Is it clear?
Sure. Yeah. Do you close your eyes? And what about breathing? And how hard do you tap? Is it, it's light tapping?
It's not so light. It's not so hard. You know, you don't want to hurt yourself. You don't want to bruise your hands. It's a medium tapping, you know.
So I can tap the two karate chop points together, like, if I want.
No. Yeah, you could chop both hands together where those points are.
So
you
each point bounces on the other point. Yeah, that feels good.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it doesn't have to be hard, but don't do it so soft that, you know, you don't feel it. You have to feel it, and then you also have to feel the feelings that come up with the correction. Therefore, you may need to close your eyes just to connect with yourself and connect with the pain that is in there in yourself. Probably you never said that to yourself. You know, in the 20, 40, or 60 years old that you are, you never said to yourself, whatever happens, whatever you feel, whatever you've done, I deeply love, accept, and respect myself.
No, that's not common to say.
Yeah. So practice this. We have another 15 minutes to go, and I'd like to include the people that are listening to this teleconference to see if there are any questions. But I'd like you to practice this in your daily life and see what happens. There is more to do on this subject, and we're going to cover it in future meetings. Also, when you click where it says past teleseminars, you are going to be landing on a membership page that is free, where there is a lot of material on how to do the CMR process on yourself, and you're going to see other people using it. There are blogs, there are forums, there are videos. So you are not alone. We're really working globally to make a change in consciousness and leave this old paradigm of pain and self-criticism behind. So join there, and you can leave comments. You're going to read comments about the teleseminars too. You can ask questions. There are many questions today here that we couldn't answer, but we can answer them in those forums.
What exactly, I wanted to also ask, Luis, because, you know, we are covering, like, even though I dislike myself or even though I'm not good enough, what I wanted to ask about was how that belief, I'm not good enough, how can we work with that more? And also that there was that twist about the reason we're believing things is because there's a benefit to it, which, you know,
mm-hmm.
rules out that we're sabotaging ourselves on purpose
mm-hmm.
and that we're victims.
Well, those of you that have been in the second teleseminar where we cover the neural net repatterning technique, there you learn how to find the benefits behind negative behaviors and negative feelings. So you can explore that too. But this work is for those that want to really take responsibility for their life and they are committed to a real transformation. This is the kind of people I want to work with, and you know, all my clients and students come from that frequency of self-responsibility. And with these four teleseminars, you have a lot of tools to really start changing the course of your life. There is more. There is a lot of material. There is a book. There are DVDs. There are seminars. There are retreats. There are conferences. But just with what you got in the teleseminar, you have enough to work on yourself for quite a while, knowing that there are more resources and there is more people out there supporting you. There are facilitators that can support you with customized sessions for you. We are living in a very, very fortunate time where things are very extreme on one side, but on the other side, there are a lot of resources. So I want to really acknowledge and celebrate that of our time. So I don't know how you feel to open this to the audience to see if there are any live questions.
Sure. Let's unmute it. Let me just do that real quick. It's open for Q&A for those of you who want to comment on this. And
hello?
Yes?
Luis, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Yes, I don't know how personal or whatever you can get on the teleseminar. I'll probably just keep it kind of pretty low-key. You know, there's obviously, you know, I feel that the separation of mind and body is the creation of pain and suffering. And when I have a belief system in my mind and my body feels physically different in sexual ways, or ways that are different than what the body has believed for so many years and what the mind has believed for so many years, how do you deal with something that's so heavy like that? How do you process that? I mean, do you dive into it and make it? What is your take on that?
Well, just keeping it in the scope of this teleseminar and given the time that we have, there are many ways to deal with what you are asking. But from the point of view of what we are working on today, just bringing into the correction that I just taught, that in this case you will have to say, even though I feel blah, 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 I deeply love, accept, and respect myself, even though blah, 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 I deeply love, accept, and respect myself, and see what happens. Just bring unconditional love, because the frequency of unconditional love is healing. So see what happens when you bathe yourself in unconditional acceptance, since you couldn't change it yet, since you don't know how to deal with it. See what happens when you love it unconditionally. You know, what happens in a family where a child is being criticized or is being ignored? Well, that child is going to start getting what is called negative attention, yes? It gets negative attention through his behavior, breaking things, or when he becomes older, he takes drugs or alcohol. So, okay, I want attention. So how can you bring positive, loving attention to yourself? Explore that and see what happens.
Yeah, I feel that it's, you know, acceptance on my family's end is probably not an issue, you know. It's really just my own laundry list that I collect and put onto myself, and I've always been pretty hard on myself. Instead of being angry at someone else, I put it onto myself.
Yeah.
And
so work on that. Work on that, and the next time we meet, tell me how it's going, or you know, you can write questions to my personal email or in this website that we are sending
Okay, well, thank you.
A teleseminar. But see what happens when you bring unconditional love, respect, and acceptance to yourself. See what happens.
Yeah? Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other comment or question?
We had a lot of comments that were more about, you know, the gist I got it of from when I was seeing some of these questions, somebody feeling like they must do more to completely heal.
Ask your question, Terry from Ocala says that she found that breath work is an excellent tool for releasing. Yes, it is. In cellular memory release, we have a technique called pain body release that does the work that breath work does. I like it more because breath work, a person cannot do it by himself. Some people can. Pain body release is more universal, and anybody can practice it and release gradually the blockages in the body. Although I like breath work very much, and I think it's a great technique. So what we release with pain body release or with breath work is the negative emotional charge stuck in the system, and that is very important to do. That's why we cover a whole teleconference on the subject. Now, we are dealing here with beliefs, and beliefs are stuck in our programming. Therefore, we need tools to work at that level too. So it's the yin-yang of healing and transformation is the emotional release and the belief system updating. So both need to happen hand in hand. One without the other is incomplete, and whatever it is we're dealing with comes back. If I don't release the belief that is telling me that I'm not good enough, I'm flawed, I'm wrong, then that belief is going to create more negative emotional charge in time, and then that's going to create more pain body. Therefore, then we're going to release it, but both things need to happen at the same time.
Luis?
Yes?
Yeah, so when you say release, are you really trying to say re-experience and heal the right way?
Sometimes you need to re-experience to release. Sometimes the release happens without consciously re-experiencing. Sometimes we have blockages that are so old that we no longer have a story attached to it. You know, it's DNA information, stuff that who knows how many generations ago got in our lineage. And when we feel those resonances, it feels mostly like physical sensations, and it gets released through contractions, through shaking, through heat or cold, but you don't re-experience a story because, for whatever reason, is no longer imprinted in the resonance. So sometimes, yes, if it happened to you during this lifetime, probably you're going to remember it comes attached to the resonance. The story is attached to the resonance. Therefore, you feel the feelings, and you also remember what happened. And when you release the negative emotional charge, you don't get rid of the memory. You will always remember that event, what happened with that second grade teacher. And it was a very painful experience, but you no longer feel it in your body. So releasing means I no longer have to hold in myself those feelings because they are no longer in my body. What it remains is a memory. Yeah?
Yeah, I see.
Yeah.
And you're no longer you're no longer a slave, so to speak, or a victim to that resonance. It's not going to affect.
Or that charge, yeah.
It's not going to create so much of the same stuff as you move through the stuff. And for me, what I found with this is that the body-mind integration piece is really important. So if we're going to get through negative self-judgment, we have to work with the body and the mind together. And a big piece I've noticed, you know, there's so many teleseminars on healing coming out, popping up like weeds all over this world. You know, so many techniques and ideas and so much information is passing that one of the the newest pieces to all this that I'm seeing is we've really looked at the body, and somatic release has been something from the 40s and 50s that have been investigated, but working with the belief system along with the negative emotions is the real juicy part for me in my experience, and in terms of improving my life or feeling like something has shifted is really using the two together. And I can see that I think more and more of the tools that are coming out that people are happy with, like Byron Katie's work, the work, or you know, some of these people who do satsangs and inquiries, they're really helping people with beliefs. So I can't say enough about that piece for myself.
So, Bryce, here there is a question. I want to cover it quick because we are almost at the end of this teleseminar. How do you handle the people that are critical in your life while trying to have self-acceptance with yourself? Well, yeah, I'm sure that you're going to find a lot of critical people out there. It's a very sad condition, I tell you. I know that people that are very critical, they also are critical to themselves. So the more critical you are to others, the more you criticize yourself. So one way to see it is see if arises any kind of compassion in you for these people, because they are making life very difficult for themselves. And they were also babies. They had been also toddlers, loving, open, joyful, human, little human beings, that they were criticized, and they learned to be critical, and they lost their joy. One way to see it is through compassion. Also, we always say, don't believe your thoughts. Your thoughts are not real. Your thoughts are coming from the programming. So don't believe your thoughts. Don't believe other people's thoughts neither. It's like, we don't have to believe what their opinions are about, their interpretations or analysis of life. You know, when you put the TV on or you read the newspaper, you don't have to believe what these people are saying. They're just opinions that probably they borrow them from other people. So when you feel criticism from other people, you're probably going to feel frustrated. You're going to feel irritated. You're going to feel sad or afraid. Feel those feelings. Recognize them. Do this correction that I just taught today. I deeply love, accept, and respect myself, even though so-and-so criticizes me, even though so-and-so doesn't like me, even though I believe what he's saying. And bring unconditional love, as I was saying before. See what happens when you bathe yourself with unconditional love. I deeply love, accept, and respect so-and-so, even though he's so critical. Yeah? So practice with this and see what happens. I meet sometimes people after 5 years, 7 years, and they tell me, you know, I keep using it. I keep using it because it's so simple and so handy. Yeah? Another question here is, when the book is coming out in a few months, so you're going to know, especially if you are in our database, you're going to know when the book comes out, because we're going to let everybody know. In Spanish, it's already published in 2007, and it's been very, very well received by people, and the book in English is being improved, much better book, I like it, much better. So just be patient, and you're going to have it available. What we have available nowadays is what we call Releasing the Pain Body ebook. Very juicy, very practical about how to release the pain body.
Since you were telling them those resources, there's the e-series where we talk more about the negative self-judgment and a lot more stuff that really explains more our philosophy.
Yeah, the e-series are very, very practical, and you get those practical lessons with exercises each 4 or 5 days in your inbox. And you can get them, there is a link in the homepage of this teleseminar, and get them, clicking there and leaving your information, you're going to get the first one between today and tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Also in the E-series, you receive seminars, how to transform the pain body. And it's
right.
Quite fascinating the results people are having with them.
Mm-hmm.
because it's for self-help, you know. You don't need a practitioner with you all the time. Once you learn it, it's yours forever.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I've done a lot of breath work, and it's been phenomenal for me. But again, I do agree with you that it isn't something that I feel comfortable doing on my own. I do it with my clients, and sometimes it works. Most times people are not comfortable. If they don't really understand the process, they get tired.
Yeah.
Basically.
No, it's not for everybody. It's for those that are ready. Yeah.
Yeah. But thank you very much.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you. All right. Well, we're very close to closing, Bryce. Is there anything else that we need to cover before we go?
Just that the next teleseminar will be the second week of June on the 11th. And we'll send out an email about what we're going to be talking about that teleseminar. So look forward to having that here in a month.
Yeah. Invite your friends. Looking forward to that, too. Thank you very much to all of you.
Thank you.
And as I say, if you have any questions, just leave them in the comments or in the discussions, and I will gladly answer them.
Dreams that you dream.